welcome to another episode of Weirdo Magnet. This is Kelly, and I'm here with my friend Matt today.
What's up, guys?
And we're in the middle of Anytime Fitness in Farmington Hills. Matt, what's the address?
37592 West 12 Mile Road, Farmington Hills, Michigan.
You're going to hear that a lot. This is an awesome gym, and I'm not saying that, and I'm not being paid to say that. I'm just telling you guys, because today's episode is all about fitness and getting in shape and how that journey started for me and how I met Matt, etc. So we hope you enjoy it. All right, so I'm going to give you guys a little background on how I got started on this fitness journey. I think it was like 20, well, I have to back it up, downer. I was working out with a trainer at Anytime Fitness in Berkeley, and we were doing push-ups on this gym equipment called the Smith Machine. And anyways, the next day I felt this weird, I thought I pulled a muscle in my chest, so I consequently went to have it checked out, and as it turns out, I got breast cancer, so that was super fun.
Fuck cancer.
Seriously. So after that, I went through 2.5 years of hell trying to get better, trying to rehab, and right before I started coming to Anytime Fitness in Farmington, I had just finished my treatment, and I had just been working out at the hospital gym, and then they told me at the hospital that I could start working out and trying to get healthy. So I guess my point of all that is that when I got here, I could not have been more broken, like physically just annihilated, broken. So I came in here one day because I work in the area, and I was working out, again, near the Smith Machine.
It's a true story.
Yeah, and I saw a man across the gym, and he looked like he knew what he was doing. I don't know why.
He was wearing a cutoff shirt.
Yeah, and he was friendly. So I went and asked him about the Smith Machine, and then we started talking about the Smith Machine. And then he tells me that he's a trainer, and I was like, cool, dude. And I just, like, walked away because I wasn't going to hire a trainer. Yeah, I was just broken. The fact that I was even in the gym was kind of a miracle.
Yeah.
So, and then we can pick that up. So, Matt, you explain how you got here.
So I found my way in the fitness industry probably 10 years ago. So I went to school for all that, got that down. And then this actually was my first real interview for a personal training position. So I got very lucky to have found this type of gym right away. So I started here about 6 years ago, and Kelly was one of my first clients, actually, maybe my third. So it was really, really cool to start working with someone with an awesome story and awesome goals. And now, unfortunately, I'm not training as much, so we don't work together anymore. Sad story, but we still get to hang out every day when she's in here, 5 days a week on most weeks, so that's good.
Yep.
But she is a completely different person today than she was, 4 or 5 years ago when she first got started.
Yes, I appreciate that. What I'll say about that, and specifically about training, is that you, you do stuff you never thought you could do, like, at all. Like, and, when you wanted me to start training, I was like, yeah, okay, cool story. I'm like, I was not going to do it. I'm like, I don't need a trainer. And then you're like, oh, I can get a free consultation. I'm like, okay. And so then
reeled her in.
Yeah,
reeled her in.
And here I am still. So kudos. maybe this will be the shortest podcast ever. It's like 3.5 minutes.
No, not at all. Not at all. So I got a question for you. Basically, I want to know, not physically, but emotionally, eyes, where do you stand now? In your life than when you did when you first walked in here 4 years ago after you, demolished cancer and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so emotionally, how do I feel mm-hmm. about fitness and stuff?
How does fitness help affect that?
Okay, well,
and maybe not even fitness, just healthier lifestyle, all of it combined.
It really helps because, honest to God, if I could make every person I know lift weights and train and come to a gym, I would, because it is better than any antidepressant.
It's a medicine, drug. For sure.
Yeah, it is. And now, it's all a journey. You're going to, lose weight, maybe you gain some back, but if you just keep on the trajectory, mm-hmm. I come now, obviously, I still have goals to finish, but I don't see an end in sight. Like, it's not going to stop.
Right.
I'm not stopping.
No, and there's not, you don't even necessarily, when you get to a point that, like, you're at, to have necessarily a goal to reach and then stop. I mean, it's all about, you know, just having a healthy lifestyle, getting onto a schedule. You're going to be, you're going to have more energy. You're going to have less depression.
I feel really good.
You release dopamine right away, which puts you in a good mood. You come in at lunch, so you go back to work normally, you know, ready to finish or tackle the rest of the day, not, you know, dragging butt, which is always good.
Especially if you're a creative person. A lot of creative people I know, I wouldn't say we're mentally ill,
We're on the line.
We feel things deeper. You're kind of more emotional. I don't know. There's a correlation between if you're a good creative person, you're in your emotions a lot. Like, my job is not physically hard, but it's mentally draining. So by the end of the week, I'm like taxed. I can't like think of anything. And so the gym really helps me with that, because before I get here, sometimes I'm really irritated, sometimes I'm anxious, sometimes I'm sad, whatever it is. You can still be sad when you leave. It's not like you're going to just like magically feel better, but 90% of the time you do feel better.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
There's somewhere to like channel that, I don't know how to explain it, that weird foggy kind of anxious cloud.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like depression.
A lot of people who battle depression and anxiety, the gym is a nice natural medicine. Cardio and strength training, you know, helps relieve those areas. I myself, you know, battle that stuff. And if it wasn't for working out and doing cardio, I would be not the nicest guy to be around all the time. So that's definitely my medicine, is working out. Plus, I mean, you meet new people, you create so many new relationships. A lot of the gym people go out, hang out, grab a beer sometimes. We're not strict around here where it's like bodybuilders, blah, blah, blah.
No, you know? That's the other thing. Like, this is a very accessible gym.
Yeah.
I find all the anytimes because I live near the Berkeley location, but I don't ever see anyone there. So I don't have a sense of community to that one. Mm-hmm. I go to that one because it's next to my house.
Yeah, it can be. BM, and we're not talking about bowel movement either.
But he's always, like, super, like, oh, good morning. Like, he's very energetic. Because I've told you this before. When I first started training with you, I thought you were on drugs or something because you were.
I wish that's the only time I've heard that.
Because you were so.
Not on drugs, guys.
So energetic. And I was just like, damn, what is wrong with that guy? You kind of get used to it.
That's the hard part for all of us trainers is, I mean, we're human too. We have bad days.
Yeah.
We have life that happens, but it's still, at the end of the day, is our goal when Kelly or anybody else walks in, when they walk out is to be in a much better mood and feel physically stronger and mentally stronger.
Yeah.
So even when we're having an awful day, what may have happened, we still got to push through. So even though that we're smiling and laughing, usually underneath there's something else going on. So sometimes the tables turn and Kelly becomes, you know, my therapist versus, you know, the other way around.
Yeah.
So it works out very, very well.
Yeah, I would also say, lost my train of thought. That's true, though, because while you're actually working out, you can't, specifically with a trainer, you don't have time to think about anything else. If you're
true
too
that.
Busy thinking about your depression, you're going to drop a weight on your foot.
Yeah.
Or something.
Exactly.
I'm probably going to catch it for you, but still.
Yeah.
Like, I'm injury free. It's been how many years, and I have not.
Right.
Except for one little hand injury. I would have dropped a weight on the hand.
Just a blonde moment. It's okay.
Yeah. But it's pretty good because if you're paying attention, you're not going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want to tell people. Like, if you focus on the task at hand, so to speak.
Yeah.
And this is coming from a person who was not athletic, did not like gym class, although I did get an A.
Participation.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a medal on her wall still.
Yep.
20 years later.
I'm going to do something with that. Bronze it. Okay, we're back. Actually, they probably don't know we left.
I was thinking the same thing. You guys didn't even know we left. We just took a 3-hour break.
So, Matt, I got some questions for you.
Bring it.
So tell me, what's your favorite part about being a trainer?
Oof. My favorite part about being a trainer is, this is a very tough question because there are so many things. Basically, I do not feel like I come into work any day. And I work a solid 55 to 60 hours a week, sometimes 6 days a week. So I'm here a lot. I enjoy what I do very much. It's the most fulfilling job in the world. Because I get to meet a ton of awesome people, hear their stories, what got them to the place that they're in, where they want to be, which is great. I love when people make success, whether it's mental, physical, whether it's weight change, body fat change, pant size, and you see that glow on their face that, hey, all this hard work of watching my diet and Matt kicking my ass and sweating is working. I mean, it is just phenomenal. Or hearing stories when, you know, someone goes to a holiday party and nobody recognizes them or just can't believe how different they look from the previous year. Those are just wonderful as well. I love having a job where I feel I can help change people's lives, because there are some people who don't communicate or talk as much of, you know, how life is really affecting them. And me and other trainers, you know, save their lives sometimes. You know, we have a lot of stories in our community of suicidal members who come in and, you know, fitness kind of saved their life. And it's just an awesome, fulfilling job. I wouldn't even call it a job. I just absolutely love it.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think the reason that because over the course of this time we became friends, but also part of that is because I've told you this before, but you literally changed my life.
Yeah, I love
it. The trajectory of my life. I mean, anyone that's it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Just goodbye, Pink Ribbon. I'm sick of you. But anyway, if there's someone out there that has also had this diagnosis, there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
It was awful. The other part of it that sucks is that there was consequent surgery. So every time I was done with the surgery, it was like, oh, good, I can start trying to exercise or feel better. No, you can't, because then you can't do this. Like, it was
right
to the point where I couldn't even walk my dog because they don't want you to hold a leash in your arm. So to go from that to where I am now, like being able to lift heavy weights and do all that stuff, is very empowering, specifically for women, because I don't think a lot of women, at least in my other question, what do you hope that your clients gain from the experience?
Honestly, the most important thing that I hope they gain from their experience is just a more positive outlook on life and a quality of life as they get older. I see so many people in their 60s and 70s that don't make it to their 80s, and that their last 10 years is just a miserable, miserable, uncomfortable way of living, and they can't do things on their own, or they're in a home for 5 years. We've got clients that have been with us for 8-9 years now that are like 75, and you'd think they were in their low 60s. They are still gardening and doing everything. So my goal is for everyone to just have quality of life as long as possible. I myself, I'd love to live to 100, but I don't want my last 20 years to be where I can't do anything.
Right.
I'd like to still continue to do some activities and be able to, you know, go on short walks or whatever it may be, anything. Get into the boat and just take a drive. But if I got to live like a couch potato for 10 years, you know, pull the plug.
I used to say you remember it was on the Today Show, the Smucker's Jam 100 birthday showcase?
Yeah.
I'm like, fucking just smother me in the pillow. Joe enjoys sitting in a chair and eating jam, does he?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not life.
No.
Living.
No.
Try to be as robust.
And then going back to that question, I think a huge goal for me, myself, Mike, our head trainer, Zach, our new trainer, is to change people's outlook on life just by adding that lifestyle change. Knowing that you need to make some sort of change, knowing that fitness needs to be part of your lifestyle somewhat every day, you know, a minimum of 220 minutes a week, some sort of exercise is going to be so beneficial to you.
Yeah.
And we all enjoy an occasional drink once in a while or whatever, you know, you go to. You know, make sure you're working that stuff off and keeping everything healthy. It's not just the outside, you know, your skin and the amount of fat you have. You also have everything on the inside too, your blood pressure, cholesterol, the fat that surrounds all of your organs you can't even see. Doing cardio and strength training changes all that, which is going to, you know, allegedly give you that quality of life as you get older.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. I was going to say, yeah, I currently train with Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if – I think I probably did this when I trained with you too, but I always like to know – I'm always like, and what function is this going to function in my actual life?
Because I love those questions.
It's great in the gym, but like I want, like when I'm suitcase carrying, then I remember I texted you once because I was literally like running through the airport with a suitcase in one hand. Could not have done been doing that.
Bam.
It seems like nothing, but seriously, when you're trying to like weave through a bunch of people, and I was in flip flops and I had a run.
Mind you, I was in flip flops.
And I ran to my case. And I thought, yeah, there's some training. So I'll just say for the people that don't train, reward is when you see yourself doing perhaps basic things, but all of a sudden they're like easy and you didn't know you were even doing that.
Exactly.
Because you're just in the gym doing a thing and then you're like, oh, just let me carry all these 80 groceries by myself. Every time I'm at the pet store, they want to carry out the dog food. I'm like, I got it.
Yeah, exactly.
If the guy really pushes, I let him just do this. But they usually look at me sideways like, really? I go, yeah, really? Okay. So, I think it's a 30-pound bag and I just put it on my shoulder.
Heck yeah.
It's not that far.
It's little things like that you notice that you couldn't do before. You know, for example, we train a lot of teachers, and a lot of our teachers are in their 60s.
Okay.
And now, a couple years later, they say, I used to have the janitor put up my stools because they put up their chairs every night and all the desks. They do them all now. And for them, that little win, to young people like you and I, don't think it's a big deal. But for them, it's a huge deal.
Right.
You know, they didn't used to be – they couldn't put their desk chairs on top of all the desks after school because it was challenging for them, risk of injury or whatever.
Right.
Now it's no big deal. It's little wins. Exactly.
Yeah.
Little wins like that is huge. I myself love focusing, or at least implementing a lot of balance and stability things, because even though we don't realize it, and they're usually the boring part of the workouts, those are the most important things for day-to-day living. Balance is huge.
Yeah, balance has always been a problem, and since I trained with you and now Mike, it got 100 times better.
Yeah, oh yeah,
I used to, I don't know, when the first, yeah, I could not balance anything.
You couldn't balance anything. You couldn't even, like, one of the, I don't want to say simplest things, one of the most, you know, common exercises, a walking lunge, you could not
do
one. You'd fall over.
Yeah.
You could walk around the whole building now.
Yeah. It's not going to be a simple one day you're this and the next day you're not.
No, it's a journey.
Yeah, it is definitely a journey, but it is a worthwhile journey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really, truly, it's amazing.
And don't get me wrong, we love when people come in here that are super ambitious and they sign their first gym membership. They're 45 and they want to lose 30 pounds and it needs to be done by next week.
Right.
Like, we love it. You're ambitious, we get it. But please trust the process. Put some faith in us. Let us help you. And just go along with the journey. We're going to be straight honest with you and let you know, hey, this is what you're going to see the first, second, third, and fourth week and what we'll see thrown there. Follow these guidelines and you'll be good. But this is not going to happen tomorrow, so please don't get discouraged when things don't happen, you know, in 2-3 weeks.
Because, you know, it gets progressively. It doesn't feel like it as the client that it's getting harder, so you feel like, oh, I suck. Like, it's never easy.
Yeah.
If it's suddenly, if you come in a day and it's easy, your trainer either has a hangover.
That never happens.
Something's going on. It's like when you would have movie day at school, it's because the teacher had a hangover. But
exactly.
I'm saying,
now we know that, though, now that we're older.
For certain, they're like, oh, my God, no. So what was the point of this? Basically, so what do you say to people? Because they're going to get frustrated. Like, that because, they think it's going to be easy at some point because now they're more in shape. But then you just push the challenge harder. So how
it's tough. I mean, okay, so what you just said, push the challenge, push making the workouts harder, that kind of thing for us, that's easy. What's hard is the mental side.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you an example. A no-name person here, he is down 38 pounds, and our goal is to lose like 60. She's young young gal. She started off just killing it, and she works her ass off in the gym, running circuits. I mean, she's in phenomenal shape now, but we still have like 22 pounds to lose for our goals that we have, and we've just been at a wall for the past like 4 weeks. This is the first time we haven't even lost a pound a week, and we're just at a wall. It's not the physical aspect right now. It's the mental aspect. And a great statistic that Mike taught me was, if you're working out with us 2 days a week, we are with you 3% of the week.
Right.
That is it.
Yeah.
You have 97% of the week without us. So we need you guys to be mentally strong, make the right decisions. I text this certain person. We've been texting back and forth when time gets hard. And I understand I've been there too. So it's the mental aspect that's the toughest for us. And it puts an emotional toll on us as trainers because I hate to say we're doing everything we can do because there's always something more you can do, right? But we're working really, really hard to help each and every individual when they hit these plateaus or hit these rock bottoms.
Yeah.
So that's what's the hardest point for me. And I think it is for Mike too. We have sit downs all the time about, you know, sometimes we have to take the emotion out of it because we're doing what we can and just continue to do what we can and know that we're still helping the individual. It's just not going at a rate that we want. And, you know, they get upset and we have to try to keep their head on straight. That's what's really tough. And I'm sure you've been through those lows before, right? I mean, everybody has.
Yeah, for sure. And you just want to quit. Yeah. And then you want to, like, rally against everyone, even the people that are helping you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're like, screw these
And that's
people.
Natural. That's human, right?
Yeah. And you just feel like they're not... You know, whatever. It's just, it is frustrating. Yeah, as much as I keep saying is it's wonderful because it is, it's a hard journey.
Yeah.
Because I probably have about 20 more I want to lose and I'm down from when it started. I don't know, like 30, 35 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd say so.
I've gone from unhealthy to healthy.
Yes.
And there's more to do.
Yeah.
But there's also, it's a hard one because you want to also, like, just accept yourself where you are and not, like, hate on yourself because you've still
exactly.
made all this progress.
Think about the positives.
But then take that positivity forward,
mm-hmm.
push it some more. So, like, currently I switched up my diet, so I'm, like, trying new diet stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I probably can do more fitnessy stuff, but I'm still in here quite often.
I think so.
So, it is a hard, like, there's been plenty of times where I've left and cried. Happy gym time! Oh my god!
Yeah, I tell you, me too. I can't lie.
Because it's hard. It's just sometimes it's just physically exhausting.
Yeah.
And you're just emotionally like spent.
Yeah.
But crying's good. Crying's okay.
You gotta let it out. Absolutely,
yeah,
crying's good.
Gotta go somewhere.
I'm a big crier. I can't even watch. You put the Notebook on. Give me 5 minutes. Give me Kleenex.
That is a crying movie. I was watching
that movie.
The new Cry for the Straight Guy, and I was crying.
I
was like, what is going on? It was a touching, because those guys, they're similar. Like, they really care about the clients and
mm-hmm.
trying to help these people.
Yeah.
And a lot of times these people are, something's happened and they're tragically upset, whatever's going on.
Yeah.
So they just bring them, like, they give them a new lease on life. Not to sound cheesy, but that's what they
no,
do.
It's
and
not.
So it's very cool to watch.
Yeah.
It's not a show I would ever think, like, hey, let's watch Queer Eye.
Yeah.
So Matt, got another question for you. What advice do you have for someone who's scared to try hiring a trainer because they think it's too hard?
The advice that I have, see, it's hard for me because it's such a natural thing for me because A, it's my job and I've been doing this every day, like forever. Don't be afraid to get out of your comfort zone. I mean, there's a lot of things that people are just afraid of doing or not comfortable doing,
right.
but they know they'd be better off doing it.
Yeah.
I don't really have a good example. I mean, I've always wanted to do something just crazy, right? But I am extremely anxious person, afraid to get out of my comfort zone. And one day I finally was like kicked it in the butt and I jumped out of a plane skydiving. That was my get out of the comfort zone. It was the best experience of my life. And now I do it all the time. So we can compare to that a little bit. You know, if you know that you need to have a healthier lifestyle, whether it's lose weight, whether it's just your doctor's like, listen, your heart's not healthy. This is what you need to start doing. You're going to be able to have a much happier life and healthier life if you just take that step. It's not scary. Most of us trainers are not like huge bodybuilders that you're walking into with short shorts and no shirt on. We are not intimidating at all. We are just like you guys. We just have maybe a different outlook on how life should be lived, and we can help kind of relay that towards you, and you can follow some of those guidelines and feel much better. I would say, make the jump. You're going to make good friends with the person. You're going to learn new things. And before you know it, it's going to be just your style of life.
I would say that too. I would also say, somebody asked me, like, why don't I have a female trainer? Well,
yeah, why don't you? I'm just kidding.
I'll tell you why. Prior to finding trainers here, I had two previous personal trainers that were both women. And before some women attacked me, I am a woman, so I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and you're just going to have to, you're going to have to like it or don't. It's really, it does come down to personality. First of
yes.
all, my very first trainer, I wanted a woman because I had never done that before, and I don't know, it's kind of a personal thing, and
mm-hmm.
You don't know what it's going to be like, so I felt initially more comfortable hiring a lady.
For sure.
But the girl that was my trainer, she was overly aggressive and kind of rude and dismissive. Like, as I'm thinking back on this, knowing what I know.
She's sweating right now. She's getting frustrated.
So I don't know what happened to her. She actually got fired for shaking down clients for money. So don't do that.
She was a bad seed.
She was. But she got me started on the thing. But I didn't care for her. And then when she got let go, they gave me another lady.
Mm-hmm.
And that lady, she was a fine, just, it really comes down to personality. I generally get along better with men. I like women just fine. But this girl, the second girl, was more like, hey, girlfriend, I'm not that person. Please don't
talk. Boy.
I can't hang like that. Cause,
yeah. Can I relay on that real quick?
Sure.
Okay, the hey, girlfriend thing. So we, as a trainer, this is going out to everyone. You got to have, I don't want to say you need to have multiple personalities, but you definitely need to know how to make every or different type of people comfortable. For that instance, that girl, let's say she's like the Barbie doll type girl. You don't like that type of thing. She needs to be able to read that real fast and kind of get to whatever your level is and talk to you that way and hang like that. Cause that's going to make you feel more comfortable.
Right.
Right. You wouldn't want a drill sergeant either. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. Cause that's a coworker asked me, cause when I'm back at work, I keep trying to get people to come here.
They should. Everybody needs a gym membership.
I know. So she was like, well, do you have a male trainer? I said, yeah, I've had two of them. And she's like, well, isn't that weird? And I said, no. I said, ultimately, it comes down to your personality, their personality, and if you can get along with the person.
Yeah, we have – it's hard. We have a lot of women come in that only want a women trainer, and it drives me nuts because I try my best to get them – first of all, we've been trying to hire a women trainer like forever. We had one in the past 6 years who was amazing. Shout out to Stephanie. She was just great. Luckily for Stephanie, though, she got married and she moved out to South Carolina, I believe, with the hubby, and that's where they're residing. So, I mean, that's awesome for her. So we have been trying since January to find a female trainer, and they are just limited right now in the fitness industry. And then when we do have women come in, there's, you know, just like any other interview, it comes down to personality and your willingness to learn and what your skill level is. And we just haven't found the right person. So yeah, right now we only have men trainers, but like you're saying, it's not like, I don't know. It's not like we're touching each other or anything weird. There's no touching in personal training. You know, you're just hanging out and having a good time and sweating. It's a good time. So I would love it if, you know, more females would like to train with males and more males would like to train with females, vice versa, because at the end of the day, you're saying it's going to come down to personality and, you know, the skill of the trainer.
And also, I think part of the reason that women probably want another woman is because there is a huge level of vulnerability. A, just showing up,
mm-hmm.
you don't know what you're doing.
Exactly.
You don't know this person. They're having you do weird shit and you're like, oh my God. But I have to say that you sort of, after a while, you just forget all that.
Yeah, you got to trust them. This is our profession, you know, and this is what we studied for and went to school for. I mean, as long as you're yourself a good trainer and they know what they're doing, try to trust them a little bit, throw them a line. You know, if you were to go to male doctor and you got strep throat, I hope you believe that you got strep throat, you know, instead of, you know, but same thing there. So I really would just hope there'd be more people kind of put that guard down and just give us at least a chance.
Yeah, at least.
We've had a few members that did not want to continue, even though they've known, you know, Mike and I for years that worked with 3 years that worked with Steph because they preferred female only, blah, 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 which I understand to each their own, but I was just hoping they'd at least give us a chance because
at least try a couple of sessions with the person.
Exactly. It was a hard no.
Right. They're not inappropriately. Sidebar, if the trainer's inappropriately touching you, then you probably need to
get a new trainer or kick his ass.
Yeah, something, because that's not supposed to be happening.
No.
And the girl, the second girl that was my trainer, her problem was that she didn't push me hard enough. If I ever said, oh, this is hard, she would stop. Now, there's a difference between if I say I'm in pain,
right,
of course we're going to immediately stop. But I just would whine.
Right.
That's what I do.
That's what everyone does.
I'm going to whimper a little bit.
Yeah.
Do I want to do 8 burpees? No.
Hell no.
But anyways, whenever I would complain the slightest bit, she would just say, okay, let's stop.
Like, yeah.
You're not supposed to let me stop. You're driving the bus. I'm, you know.
I like that. No. When we got to send it in, trust me.
Okay, hey, we're back again. They probably don't know we paused it. I probably don't need to tell them that.
We'll put a music
in there or something. I have interludes I can add.
We're going to throw an interlude in there.
Yeah. So what would you say, like, if someone's looking for a trainer, what would you suggest? What do they need to look for? Like, what are some good signs of a good trainer?
Okay. If you are in the – couple things. If you are brand new to the fitness industry and you are just stepping foot in the gym for the first time, you're looking for a trainer, you need to find someone who's got a good amount of experience so they know the correct pyramid steps for you, obviously, to stay away from the risk of injury and take the steps in the right amount of time. But again, like we talked about earlier, you're going to want to click with them. So personality, you're going to want them to have good hygiene. That's a big one. Trainers out there, bring a pair of socks, bring a toothbrush, it's a long day at the gym, and just make sure you look and smell good for your client. Just like you want them to smell and look good.
I
don't care what you look like, but
you must have had some times where someone was non-hygienic. Does that ever
happen? I mean, definitely. Let's go on a side tangent here. I would never – I don't have anybody that I would say, no, not good hygiene. But we've definitely got some sweaters, which is great. But I mean, like, you turn the hose on sweaters. Okay. So we got to go get a mop, which is awesome. It's a good time. But, no, everyone's pretty great. Getting back on track, if you – are in the fitness industry already and you're kind of just at plateaus and you've thought about having a trainer, but you're like, you're kind of on the fence. I've always liked to just kind of, before I got into the industry, I loved watching trainers train people, seeing what their styles are, seeing them smiling, seeing the other person huffing and puffing, seeing what they look like when they walk out of there. I'm just giving it a go. But those type of people, I think you need a pretty, I wouldn't say, I mean, I guess, again, experienced a trainer, and so where they know, hey, you're already at this level and you need to make sure you tell them I've been doing all these things. You don't want to start, 10 steps back from where you're already at.
Right. And based on what the person says to you about the personal history, like mine, for example, if I recall, I told you I couldn't – well, basically I had no core muscles, so that was the first thing I said.
You were spliced open.
Yeah. So we had to slowly build from that. Mm-hmm. Like I literally just got the doctor's note.
Yeah.
Them.
We progressed pretty well. I mean, you're two different people now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's definitely important for the trainers just to – and this is the hardest thing for trainers too, because, I mean, it's not – training is a tough job to keep because it's just not – it's one of those jobs where it's not – it's like a sale, it's like a car salesman. It's just not a stable job.
Right.
And, honestly, until you get yourself a great set of clientele and you continue to do an amazing job. So it's hard to find someone that – is just willing to go 110% all the time. And then that's what's key. You got to find a trainer whose heart is really in the game. And it sticks in the game. A lot of people are kind of up and down. If you can find someone who just kind of leveled out the playing field and they are, just they've got a heart for it all the time, you're going to come in and always leave with a good workout. I would hate for someone to come in. If someone's training with me 3, 4, 5 times a week and 20% of those are bad, I'm failing. They need to all be great.
Right.
Yeah, so I give myself a pep talk every time.
And what is the role of the client on the other side of that? So obviously you can come in with all your energy, mm-hmm. but if the person comes in, they're just not feeling it,
I'm already happy they already came in because
okay,
I can tell.
Even if they're bad.
I can tell you're in a bad mood already or you're having a really shitty day and you don't want to be here, but you know it's going to be better when you leave in the rest of the day.
Yes, we were there a lot.
We've been there. Kelly dropped F-bombs at me plenty of times. It's a love-hate relationship. And it happens, but we know. I mean, I've had a couple instances where they're working out and they're doing a great job, and I will literally have someone tell me, I don't want to be here, blah, blah, blah. And at the end, you get a nice hug. Thank you. I feel so much better.
Right.
This is what's been going on. Thanks for holding me accountable.
So you
blah, blah,
let
blah.
That roll off your back.
You got to let it roll off. Don't ever take anything personal because they don't mean it.
Mike and I have been training for about 6 months, so I just now started telling him I hate him sometimes while in the middle of the workout. So he's taking it in stride. He's like, I'm okay with that.
I love it.
Yeah, we just got to that point.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Me and Mike aren't even at that point yet.
One day, that's going to come. Let me think. Yeah, so my only advice for people is that if I can do it when I was literally broken, cut in half, burned off thing. You can do it too.
Yeah.
If you want to do it, it is a path to a better life.
Mm-hmm.
No one, this is the other thing. If I'm having a bad day and I think, oh, I don't want to go to the gym, I make myself go.
Yep.
I've never left the gym and said, man, I feel worse.
No, never.
Doesn't mean I might not cry in my car.
That's fine.
But that at least some of that emotion has gone.
And what we're talking about right now is a big one. The big word, excuses. Abby Kelly had one of the best excuses in the world not to do anything, right? She, just defeated death, basically.
Yes.
And, in an emotional roller coaster, the last thing that girl or Kelly, wanted to do was start getting physically active, and having a set schedule and doing all this work when she could just sit on the couch with a book and ice cream. Or a beer. It sounds so much better, right?
Sure does.
But you defied the odds and you did awesome. So, we see so many excuses every day, whether it's time, whether your excuse is time, money, accountability, whatever it is, we will work with you. We are Lifestyle Change Gym. We'll definitely make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kills us when we have people, prospects walk through the door because obviously they had some sort of trigger that day or that week
right. That
made them walk into not only our gym, any gym, doesn't matter, any fitness facility, because they wanted to start something. We go through the whole spiel, ask them about their life, take them through a tour, sit them down, give them some options, tell them how we can help them in the future. And then they tell us, you know what, it's not the right time, I'm not interested. It's like, what happened in between those last 5 minutes that changed your mind? You obviously had a trigger. So that's what we're trying to kind of figure out right now, is how can we keep those people on the right mindset? And I was wondering, do you have any advice on that? Because it happens all the time.
Mindset. Well, first of all, I would say for any kind of change, you mentally, you physically, not even physically, mentally, you have to be ready for a change.
I think that's big.
The comparison I would say is like an addict.
Mm-hmm.
I have some experience with that, not myself, but some family members. And basically, if someone has, say, a substance abuse problem, they're not going to quit unless they're ready to quit.
Agreed.
Period. It doesn't matter how much you want to love them into quitting or forcing them. So on the other side, if someone...
You're totally right.
If their spouse or somebody's like, or their friends are bullying them, or because adult bullying still happens.
Yeah.
They got fat shamed on the internet, whatever happened,
mm-hmm.
that triggered them to come in that day.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my suggestion would be dig deeper than the superficial, because... as we were saying earlier, it's a long journey. It's a long game.
Yeah.
What is that called in golf? Long game. I don't know.
It's a long game. Yeah.
So this is also a long game. There's going to be like initial, success, quote unquote, if it looks like weight loss to you or whatever.
Yeah.
But like what keeps you coming back isn't that, because that is superficial. Of course, you look better and you feel better, but like, it's mental more than it is physical, really.
100%.
And
so absolutely.
The person has to mentally want to be better.
Yeah.
And they have to see this as an outlet. And it's going to take them a while to get the traction to do that. But if they just leave after your initial consultation.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't want to do this.
Maybe they're not ready quite yet, or maybe they thought they were, and then when they finally stepped in and they've never been in a facility before.
The reality of it?
Yeah, the reality of it.
Right, because when you and I were supposed to do our first session, I think I canceled the first one.
I think you did.
And then because I was like, nope.
Yeah.
But I was also physically scared, because I had literally just like been with a physical, that was a whole other thing. But
yeah, thank you. You put some trust into me. I do appreciate that. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
And look at you now.
Yeah. I want to encourage everyone to try.
Same.
If you don't at least show up to try, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're not going to fail. You're succeeding by already coming in the door.
Exactly.
And saying, hey, I'm ready for a change now.
Exactly. And I just want people to know, if it's your, most of our prospects that come in and they have that trigger, whatever it may be, and they want to come do a life change that day, and they're like, this is it, I'm going to start today. And they come in and this is the first gym they've ever walked in, and they get that, I do my best, or Mike does his best, or Zach does his best to give them zero intimidation and make them feel like it's a great environment. If this is the only gym they've ever seen, they could absolutely still be intimidated. But just know, the smaller gyms, whether it's Anytime Fitness or any other club, are the least intimidating. The last thing you want to do is walk into a 10, 20,000 square foot club, or 20, 40,000 square foot club with 200 people there.
Right.
That's intimidating.
Yeah.
The loud banging and screaming of weights, and just the amount of people around you who are in perfect shape. Even to me, that's intimidating.
It is.
I don't
want
to work out around someone who looks like a freaking Barbie doll.
Right.
You know, that's intimidating to me. This is a very welcoming place. As you know, you guys, members all talk to each other.
Everybody
shares their story. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I've been at other gyms, and this one is super, I don't know, everybody is super nice.
Yeah.
Not fake nice.
No.
And there's, you know why? Because there's not a
gym. Or we're so good at it that she doesn't know yet.
Sociopath.
No, but yeah, we don't have a juice bar, so that we're totally.
That's why we're not pretentious. There's no juice bar.
Exactly.
There's $2 Gatorade. yeah, so please give training and fitness in general a chance, because you won't be sorry. It's been a wonderful experience for me. And I'm not going
to
stop.
Yeah. You don't want to look back when you get into your 60s and say, I wish I started when I was 30. Or in your 70s, I wish, because it's too late.
Right.
There is no going back. So this is something you need to start sooner than later.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you get older. If you have a family and you have grandkids and you're 65, you're going to want to hang out and get on the ground with those grandkids. Whether it's you have a bad knee or hip that could have been avoided, or if you are 200 pounds overweight that could have been worked on. Think about those things when you're having those bad days, and let that be your trigger to come in, and we will help you get to that lifestyle so you can enjoy your.
Yeah, that's the thing. You don't have to do it by yourself.
Mm-mm.
You have to show up by yourself.
That's
just
it.
The one time.
Exactly.
And then the water's warm. Come over here.
That's right.
Come on, swimming. Okay, thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, very much for listening. Again, that's Farmington Hills Anytime Fitness.
Hey, everybody, one more thing. Just as a note, the reason Matt and I don't train together anymore is because now he's the managing partner of the gym. So he got a promotion, and he still trains, but on a more limited basis. And also, we're ending today's podcast with another song from my friend Jimmy, per usual. This one's called I Got Eyes for You. Have a great day, everybody.